And I love this pulpit. This is just like I told someone. This is like boards out of my father's old barn that we made into a, this. I didn't realize they did. Do you do this every Sunday for each individual speaker? Pumpkins brought in and just for Pumpkin Center and just make you feel like you're really at home. Thank you. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how many students, you know, from the Bible college that I've taught, like Tim, Aaron, Amy, Dan, Brian, and it, how many have I seen or taught at youth camp? Could you see some hands? Yeah, so there's extra ones there, so I'm kind of nervous. I may make a mistake, and you might remember some of the bad things I've done. And, of course, at youth camps, we go way back. And of course, I even go back to the time of John Railton at Oregon Bible College. That's unbelievable, isn't it? It's a blessing to be here. I have some thoughts on this. Now, this is as good as I could get. It's a rock. I started to be able to throw it, but this isn't a sermon on he that is without sin, let him cast. No, not that, not that. We're not going to do that. But you know, a lot of things in our society are based on rocks and rocks analogy. Have you ever noticed that? I remember a commercial by, and it's only the voice that you hear. The voice that you hear in the background is James Coburn. He's that, you know, old guy, and a Chevrolet truck comes on the scene and it's bouncing over the rocks like Brian Hall would do, you know. Bouncing over the rocks, and James Coburn says, "Like a rock, Chevrolet." You know, if you remember that? And so we talk a lot about the rock in situations. And, you know, we talk about different things that in our society, like a rock. And when I was a kid, or young man, I should say, 22 is kind of a kid to me, so sorry about that. When I was a young man, I just graduated from high school, and I was working. I was in my second year of college. And my cousin, Alton Martin, was selling Prudential Insurance. You know, and he's approaching, I just married, and so my income was very low. But he wanted me to have a piece of the rock, Prudential, a piece of the rock. And so for $6.97 a month, I could own a piece of the rock, Prudential. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I think I paid it for about 4 months, and then I dropped the policy. I would have been a rich man today if I had only kept a piece of the rock. Well, the story goes on that the Bible College has a retirement program, and so we've been putting in money to something that Bill Gasper does up in Minnesota, and I forget what it was, American Scandi or something, but guess who bought them out? Prudential. I have a piece of the rock still. The best rock, though, if you want to turn there and just look at it for a minute, is in Psalm 18. And we're going to talk about get ready, get on the rock. Get ready to get on the rock. Of course, we believe as Adventists that Jesus is coming soon. The kingdom is coming. I'll tell you the story. God's banner exalted shall be. And it's a story about Jesus and the coming kingdom. And this psalm starts out, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. We are living in tough times. Situations are critical. We have, you know, an election coming up, and all of those other things. And how are we going to endure to the end? You know, the Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So we need to endure to the end. And I am suggesting to you that we need to get on the rock, to get ready to get on the rock. And there's a couple of illustrations out of Scripture I want to focus on. And you know them. I know you know them. We're probably Sister Sarah told me there was a prophecy class. So you always talk about Daniel chapter 2. We're going to deal with that some today. The rock hewn out of the mountain without hands. And you know the story out of Daniel 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. This great king of ancient Iraq, if you will, this great king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a phenomenal dream, and he couldn't interpret, and he asked his wise men, the magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers, NIV says, oh my, come up with the answer for me, and if you don't, I'm going to just take you out. I'm going to kill you. He had evidently been fed up with his advisors. He fed them at the king's table, it said, always. And so they were eating at his table. And when he came up with a very tough situation, something that tormented him, he went to his advisors and tell me what the dream was and what it meant. I need some relief from this mental anguish that I'm going through. And you know the story. No wise man, enchanter, or magician could tell the king the story. But there were some captives from Babylon, captives from Jerusalem in Babylon. Daniel chapter 2, if you want to follow there. Daniel chapter 2. It's a beautiful account of the time that God raised up Daniel and gave him the interpretation. And I want you to know that it's critical how Daniel approached the king in verse 27. When the king is threatening life or death, is that a critical situation, Miss Jean, or not? Yes. He's threatening life or death, Aaron. This is not a light thing. He's coming before the king, and the king is threatening, give me some relief, or you get life or death. Daniel said, verse 27, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God. Let's just stop right there for a minute. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord our God. If the Lord is our rock, we depend on Him totally for life, breath, and all things. We have to humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the lands. We come first in humility. And so even though Daniel had the answer, even though Daniel knew what was coming, he knew the dream now that God had given it to him. He gives all glory to God. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. And you know the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. What does it all mean? And Daniel gave the revelation. And he goes down, but there's a rock in there, down in verse 35. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor, blown away. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. We know what that is. Amen? That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom is coming. Oh, tell you the story. God's banner exalted shall be in verse 44. In the time of those kings. And folks, I do believe we're living in the times either before or now, even in process of the latter toes or the latter kingdoms of the Middle East that incorporates the ten toes. I don't know who they are. I'm not going to come before you and say that today. But I'm telling you, from the situation that we see in the Middle East, Israel is back in the land, Woody. I have no doubt about that. That's an obvious thing. Israel is back in the land, 1947, May, right? The Jews now have Jerusalem as the capital city. Who is and where is Jesus going to reign from? Jerusalem. Two major elements. I remember that picture of Moshe Dayan standing in front of the Wailing Wall with his one patch. We now have the city. The capital city of the coming kingdom is in the hands of the Jewish people, 1967. So the people are back in the land. They have the capital city. So we are in a precarious situation to try to understand that we need to get ready to get on the rock that's coming, and the rock is the kingdom. Amen? We are in that situation, verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. 45. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. We are living in very tough times. What's going to happen in Iraq? Big issue in the election. I don't know what's going to happen in Iraq, but I do know Jesus is coming. Like the little girl sang this morning, faith. Jesus is coming. God has never lied. We need to have that Abrahamic faith, as Abraham said, after he tried God every which way. And he finally, at the age of 100 plus, finally understands that whatever God says he's going to do, he is going to do. That's Abrahamic faith. So God says he's sending his son back. He's going to establish a kingdom that would rule and bring peace to the entire world. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. That's faith. Amen? Yeah, and we live in tough times. We live in times in which the Christian worldview is challenged, and rightly so. You know, we just don't need to accept it fully. But if God does it, if he promises and he does it every time, shouldn't we encourage people to at least listen to that idea? Yes, we do. There was a scientist who really got kind of uppity, his pride really elevated, and says, you know, God, we can do what you can do. God says, oh yeah? Yeah. We have the DNA, the formula for life, figure it out. We're mapping it right now. We're going to be able to click out genes and put in genes and just, we're able to form man. God, we can make a man just like you. And God says, oh yeah? Show me. Show me. So the scientist and God walk out into a field, and the scientist picks up some dirt, and God said, whoa, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Yeah. We think we know so much. We don't even know where the rock comes from. You know, where did the dust come from? How did God create it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there are things that we can't comprehend. We just take God at faith and face value. We take God in the way he expresses things. And he says, I will send Jesus back, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So you either get on the rock or you get left behind, don't you? Yes. Yes. Another passage on the rock is Matthew 16. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Matthew 16. This is a situation where Jesus is kind of checking on the disciples. Who does everyone say I am? Well, you're a nice man. You're doing some good stuff. You know, you're healing a few folks. You're like a good itinerant physician. You're helping folks out. And so Jesus asked him, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And that's a good question, isn't it? Christology is one of the most important things that we deal with. And some people have elevated Christ to Jehovah God himself. And we know biblically that that's not a sound teaching. That's in theory, by the way, called Christomanism. The worship of Christ alone. Well, that's wrong. The church has said historically that's wrong. And so when you look at this, Jesus is getting us to think about who he actually is and who do they say the Son of Man is. And here's the answer. They replied, some say John the Baptist come back to life. Others say Elijah, the mysterious death of Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And that's a good answer. You're like one of the prophets of old. You're like Elijah raising the dead and healing people. And just, you know, you're like a super prophet. Verse 15, but what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And that's a question for us, isn't it? Who do you say I am? What is the rock of your life? Bless Peter's heart. Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a statement you can build your life on, and we are building our lives on that. And I know that. I'm building my life on the fact that Jesus is the King. That's what Christ means. The one anointed, as Samuel anointed Saul, as Samuel anointed David. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." I'm going to say, of course, we're living in Notre Dame country, and despite Catholic theology, bless our hearts, the rock is, I saw those shirts you wore in, Indy. Jason says he has to wear one to work. And God bless Notre Dame football team. Yeah, let them go. Rah, rah. Yeah, yeah, all that good stuff. But the rock is what Peter said. You are the Christ. You are the King. You are part of God's plan. God is the ultimate rock. The Lord is my rock, in my strength and my Redeemer. And He's sending a kingdom that will cover the whole earth. And the fact that Jesus is the King of the kingdom is the foundation upon which we can build our family. One thing that I really appreciated, and I know you do too. When I walked in, I saw Amy and I saw Marcia and Jason and all the little kids running around. Good job. My life is based upon my three grandsons. You know, Jacob is 12. Joshua is 6. This is hard for a man to remember all these. And Bradley in Arizona is 8. And my life just revolves around those kids. You know, the other day it was so beautiful. Joshua at 6 was not able to ride a bike without training wheels. I said, "Jeremy, my son, you know, Heather, my daughter-in-law, this kid's, you know, got to get out more." So I took him out. I went out and I took the training wheels off. "Oh, Papa, I'm going to fall. I said, "No, listen, Josh." And I did this the same for my other grandchildren. "I'm going to hold you. I will not let you fall." We went to a cul-de-sac just one street up from our house. And we went round and round. And I would run beside him. Old man Joe, walking, running around, holding this kid. And after a while, he just took off. And he was grinning from ear to ear. He was doing it. He was riding his bike. And he just went. I said, "You ready to go home?" "No, I wanted to." He just went round and round and round and round, like the Energizer Bunny. And so we're building an institution here. It's called the church. You know, each individual families. And you will impress them upon your children, Deuteronomy 6:7. When they lie down, when they rise up, when they're sitting at the table, and when they're walking along the way. We're building an institution. What is it based on? It's based on the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all these families coming together in the church. And the church is the citizens. We are the citizens of the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing. Amen? So we need to get ready. And if you aren't fully on the rock, as Paul says in Philippians 3, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things that are coming. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, no matter what you've gone through, our family has gone through crises also. You know that. Some people know more of my crises than others. But we've all gone through things, haven't we? Whether it's financial or sickness. You know, operations and back pains and neck pains and money pains and relationship pains. We're all going through crises. What's going to hold us together? The rock, the plan of salvation through the Lord God, that He's going to establish His kingdom based on His Son Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if we build our lives on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we can pass through the fire just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? And so we need to get ready and get on the rock. Amen? And so I would encourage you in this church, to continually, no matter what goes on in relationship, no matter what happens in Iraq, no matter whether Notre Dame loses or, perish the thought, or wins, No matter what happens, we need to continue to base our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because He is the King of God's coming kingdom, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? God bless you. Thank you.